I wonder this morning, I wonder. Actually, everybody do me a favor, everybody stand up. Now, for some of you, this will be very quick. If you don't like football, you can sit down again. If you don't support a team in the Premiership, you can sit down again. If you don't support Ballymena United, you can sit down again. We can see the loyal fans out this morning. If you're not supporting a team in the Euros, you can sit down again. Ah, there we go. But thanks, everybody can sit down again. But I'm going to show you a couple of faces on the screen here. And I reckon most of you should be able to know who these people are. Well, who's this first fella? Right, so Jordy Best. Okay. A lot of things people could say about Jordy that maybe wouldn't allude to his football career. But George Best grew up in East Belfast. He made his debut for Manchester United at 17. He scored 179 goals in 470 appearances in 11 years. And he was the club's top goal scorer for 5 consecutive seasons. That takes some beating. But then here's the next fella. Who's he? Right, Messi. Who's he play for?
Barcelona.
We'll give that away. So would you say Messi's the best footballer in the world? Yeah. Well, a lot of times people do say that Messi is the best footballer in the world. Not even that. Probably the greatest sports person of all time. He's the only person in history to ever win 5 FIFA Ballon d'Ors, 4 of which he won consecutively. He was the first player to win 3 European Golden Shoes. With Barcelona, he's won 8 La Liga titles, 4 UEFA Champions Leagues, as well as 4 Copa del Rey. He's a prolific goal scorer, and Messi holds many records for the most goals scored. In a La Liga season, he scored 50. In a calendar year, he scored 91. In a single season, he scored 73. 5 in a Champions League match, and he's played in the most Champions League seasons. What about this next guy? Who's he? Ronaldo. Is he better than Messi? Well, who would you support? Oh, bit of division down here. Well, again, some people would say that Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo, is the best player in the world. By the age of 23, he'd won a Ballon d'Or from FIFA. He'd also been nominated for the best player in the world by FIFA. And he was also the world's most expensive player when he moved from Manchester United to Real Madrid in 2009. In Spain, he's won a La Liga title, 2 Copa del Rey, 2 Champions Leagues, and a World Cup. Not many people have done that. But who's this next guy? Anyone know? With all these faithful Northern Ireland supporters? Right, Kyle Lafferty. Kyle Lafferty, local fella, well, not local, he's from Enniskillen, but made his first international appearance for Northern Ireland in 2006. He's received 45 caps, scored 16 goals, and he's just behind David Healy for the record. who can tell me what happened on Friday afternoon? Friday evening? Anybody? No, he didn't. The start of the European Championships. Yeah, in France. Yeah. The Euro 16 tournament kicked off at the Stade de France. But who can tell me what these next four countries all have in common? Slovakia, Poland, Ukraine, and Germany. Right, they're all in the Euros. Okay, so that's one thing. Anybody know anything else? Yeah, so they all have to play against Northern Ireland. And well, a long, long time ago, when I was maybe your age, I actually used to like football. I used to support Manchester United. Partly to annoy my dad, because he's a big Liverpool man. But as I got a wee bit older, I went off football. Well, I went off most exercise. And I got more into music. But the one team that I will sit down to watch now and again is our wee country. The Green and White Army, Northern Ireland. A couple of weeks ago, I went up to see them at Windsor Park. And they were playing against Belarus. And that night after the match, after waving across at Chris and Suzanne, as they were over, sitting in the fancy seats, there was a big celebration that night. There was fireworks and a bit of a montage of all the things that they've done to get there. And the true and the loyal supporters of Northern Ireland that have been following their campaign really closely over the last couple of years were ecstatic. They were overjoyed because it's the first time in 30 years that Northern Ireland have made it to a major competition. They've got some tough teams to play in the group stages, and only time will tell how they're going to do. But you may be sitting thinking, Matt, why are you talking about football in church? What does football even have to do with the Bible? Well, the first thing is that in football, there are two teams. There are two teams playing in each match, and as we watch, we will support one team or the other. And the Bible tells us that we have to pick who we will follow. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15 says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua here is reminding the Israelites of everything that God had done for them in the past. Boys and girls, can any of you tell me some of the things that God has done for the Israelites? Remember way back when they were slaves in Egypt? What happened? Go for it. Okay, so Moses brought them out from Egypt and took them across the Red Sea. Yeah, brilliant. What happened next?
God opened the sea to let them pass.
Yeah, so God opened the sea. Brilliant. God gave them manna and quail. Then remember when Moses went away up the mountain? What happened then? Okay, there was a big storm. Then what happened?
Aaron got them to melt all the gold into a golden calf.
Okay, so they made a golden calf. But what did God give Moses?
Tablets.
Okay, tablets. And what was on them? Not paracetamol. The Ten Commandments. Yeah. So God had looked after the Israelites. Because he sent Moses to bring them out of slavery in Egypt. And then as they were going away, he opened the Red Sea as they were fleeing from the Egyptians. He gave them the Ten Commandments and all of the laws and all the ways that they were supposed to live to glorify God. And then he provided for them food as they were walking through the desert. But where were they walking to? Anyone tell me? The promised land. Yes, well, God provided them with a land and with somewhere that they could be his people. And God had looked after the Israelites from the beginning of time. But it didn't go so well. Because the Israelites gave up on worshiping God. And they turned away and followed after idols. This is why Joshua had to say, "Choose this day whom you will serve." Today I have to ask you, what side are you on? This side or that side? Are you on God's side? Are you on the devil's side? If you think that by being a good person then you're on God's side, you're wrong. Because if you've never asked God to forgive your sins, then the Bible clearly says that you are on the devil's side. Our starting position is always on the devil's side. And this is because of the sin in our lives. Can anybody tell me what sin is? Who's down here?
All the wrong things we do.
Okay, so all the wrong things that we do, is it just stuff we do?
We say
and think. Yeah, brilliant. So sin is everything that we do, think, or say that displeases God. And God cannot stand our sin. And because of our sin, the Bible says that we must be punished. But maybe today you're just in church because your child's doing something at the front. Maybe you have no interest in God or the church or the Bible at all. Maybe you did follow God closely, but then you felt that he let you down and you kind of went, nah, life isn't going how I wanted. God was supposed to help me. I can't be bothered with that anymore. Maybe you're just sitting here counting the minutes until the service is over and you can go home. Are you like a bored spectator at a football match? You couldn't care less about the result. You're just watching on from the sidelines. But the Bible says that we cannot sit and do nothing. The Bible says that by default, we are all on Satan's side. Because the Bible tells us, and we were told earlier by the kids, from Romans 3, verse 23, that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So no matter how good you try to be, or how good you think you are, or how uninterested you may be, you have been judged for your sin, and you have been found guilty by a perfect, sinless, and holy God. Sin is not something to be taken lightly. Our sin is something very, very serious indeed. Because sin has an eternal judgment that comes with it. It means facing a lost eternity in hell, separated from the glory of God, with no way out. See, the one and only way to be made right with God can only happen while you're alive on this earth. We need to realize that there's no opting out. We've all picked a side already. We're either on God's side or Satan's. The only way to be on God's side is to repent of your sin, to beg God for forgiveness, and live a life that's pleasing to him. The second thing is that in football, there is a referee. Does anybody know who this guy is? Anyone? No? Well, this is usually a fellow that Liverpool fans seem to dislike a lot. This is Howard Webb. Some of you might be aware that all referees aren't exactly fair. Sometimes they give more chances to their favorite team. They'll give penalties for an easy tackle. They'll give a yellow card for something silly. And they'll maybe simply send off a player because they just don't like him. But a referee's job is to fairly judge the match, to decide who gets the throw-ins, the corners, to dictate the offside rule. And even after all of the players scream, shout, swear and argue with him, the referee's decision is final. We've looked at both of these teams and we've seen that we are either on God's side or on Satan's side. And the referee in all of this is God. You might think, but hold on a minute. If God's in charge of one of the teams, how can he be the referee? But God is more than just a referee. God is the creator and the ruler of this entire universe. See, he made it out of nothing except the power of his words. And God is also the judge over all of creation. And the Bible tells us this in Romans 2, verses 12 and 13. And it says, all who sin apart from the law will also perish. Apart from the law. And all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but those who obey the law will be declared righteous. We're told that God will judge all, whether they have listened to his word or not. Those who have sinned without the law are those who have never heard about sin or how it separates us from God. And I'm sorry to tell you that by coming to church today, you're not in that first category anymore. You're in the second category. You're in the category of those who will die under the law. And you have heard about the forgiveness of sin and the love of God if we repent. Because sin's consequences should act to us like yellow cards. The consequences should be a warning that we are doing something wrong. We know what happens if a player gets two yellow cards. He gets a red card and he's sent off and he misses the next game. But our sin leads to something much more, much, much more serious than a red card. It leads to something much more serious than missing a football match. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. I'm not just talking about a physical death, but also our spiritual death. If we die spiritually without God, then we will be separated from him forever. But it doesn't stop there. The verse continues to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are given this certain hope of forgiveness, a certain hope that we can have through the death and resurrection of Jesus on the cross. Only through repenting and turning from our sin and asking for the forgiveness of Jesus can we have this promise of eternal life. Only then can we be united and adopted into God's family. There is no other way to be made right with God. Being a good person, coming to church, reading your Bible, and praying, they're all good things to do, but they are not good enough on their own. You can try and try all you want to be good, but the truth is that you will never be good enough. Because by ourselves, we can never match up to God's perfect standards. If you've never repented from your sins and you want to know more, then speak to me. Speak to Brian. Speak to an elder. Speak to someone that you know is a Christian. And we'd be more than happy to show you from God's word how you can be made right with him and receive this promise of eternal life. If I was to ask you this morning what team you want to be on, you'd say the winning team. And God's side is the only side that will ever win. Through Jesus dying on the cross, sin and death were defeated, and we were given a way to be made right in the eyes of a perfect and holy God. But we can only be made right if we come and repent. Only then can we be made right. So as I finish this morning, let me ask you, are you happy on the sidelines? Are you happy watching? Are you happy thinking that you don't need to pick a side? Maybe this morning you're happy. Maybe you're happy and content just to be on Satan's side, because you won't have to change your life. You won't have to do anything. But this morning I urge you to move to God's side. To come to God's side and receive this promise of eternal life. Thank you. Let's just pray.